The Bible is the story of God's redeeming love for lost mankind. That's what it is from cover to cover.
There are many reasons that people give for rejecting the authority of the Bible. But one of the major criticisms is that some people see it as irrelevant to our modern culture. Unbelievers can't understand how something written so long ago could possibly have anything useful to say about life today. But as Charles Stanley expresses on today's edition of In Touch, God's Word is as relevant in our culture as it was in the day it was written. In the pages of Scripture, we find timeless principles that explain God's nature and His redemptive plan for mankind. In effect, it's our textbook for life. Learn more as Charles Stanley once again takes us back to basics.
This is the most important book in existence. There's not anything to compare with it. There has never been anything written like it. There is nothing anywhere in all of existence that matches the wisdom and the content of this book. This is the Bible, the written, living Word of the living God. Therefore, there is no book in all of existence like it. In fact, God said about His Word, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever." More than likely, you have a copy of it. You may have several copies of it. You may have several different kinds of translations of it. But in essence, it is the Word of God. It is the guidebook. It is the book, the textbook for the believer. Because it's in this book we discover who God is like, what He's like, and who He is. It's in this book we discover how to live. It's in this book we discover how to die. There's nothing in all the world like this book. And God has given it to us to guide us and to govern us and to guard us. Wise men and women, feast upon this book. Meditate upon this book. There's nothing like it. So I want you to turn, if you will, to what is the golden text concerning the Word of God, and that is 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. And Paul is writing to young Timothy, and he refers to the Scriptures here. And if you'll notice, beginning in this 14th verse, what he says. He says, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." And then he says to him on the basis of that, he says, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, that living of the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside the myths. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Now, there are probably lots of reasons that people neglect reading the Word of God. One of them is they don't understand what it is. And to some people, they say, "Well, you know, I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I'm a Christian, and I do read the Bible, but somehow they don't really understand what this is." And there are many people, of course, who do not read it because they do not believe it. They don't think it's authentic. They think it was written by a group of men who put all this together, and therefore this is like any other book, full of myths, full of stories, maybe partially true historically, but it certainly could not be a divinely given book. That's their opinion of it. Now, the reason they believe that is because they don't know the author. Once you know the author, then suddenly this book takes on a whole different perspective. And so I want to begin this message by talking about the preeminence of the author of this book. By preeminent, I mean that there is no one to compare to him. All the fine, wonderful authors that there may have been in the world, there has never been one equal to the author of this book. And the interesting thing about the Word of God is this, that the author identifies himself in the very first book of this Bible, in the first chapter and the first verse, and that story begins like this. In the beginning, what's the next word? God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is, the author of this book is the creator of this earth. That is, everything that has ever been created and is in existence was created by the one who also authored this book. This is why there is no contradiction between God in the Scriptures and God in nature. There is no contradiction whatsoever. And those who believe that all this just burst forth out of nothing just haven't read the Word of God, number one. And secondly, they don't know the Creator. There is no real contradiction between true science and the truth of the Word of God. He is the author of this book. From beginning to end, God chose what to give mankind. And He chose what we would need to read, what we need to hear about Himself. And so what you and I have, what we call the living Word of God, the Scriptures, and God has given it to us. If He'd have known we needed anything else, He would have given it. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when He says, "In the beginning God," the Hebrew word is Elohim. And it is in a plural form, which not only means plenitude of God's power and grace and mercy, but it also implies something. Because in the 26th verse of that first chapter, the Scripture says that God said, "Let us make man in our image." Who is us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is in the New Testament you and I begin to understand what the Trinity, that is the Godhead, is all about. And if you'll turn back for a moment to John chapter 14, in the 14th chapter of John, in the same verse, the 26th verse, in the 15th chapter of John, same verse, 26th verse, in both these chapters, here's what you'll discover. You'll discover Jesus mentioning here, or in His discussion with His disciples, bringing in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the 26th verse, He says, speaking of the Holy Spirit, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance that I've said to you." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Chapter 15, verse 26. "When the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I," second person of the Trinity, "will send to you from the Father," third person of the Trinity, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness of Me. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all involved in the giving of His Word. All involved in the Godhead. God is what? He is one. Three persons that make up the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have God's written Word in the Scriptures. It is the living Word of God that we have in the person of Jesus Christ, who came to reveal to us in human form who God and what God is really like. And so the author of this book is absolutely preeminent above all authors. He is the God of creation. He is the God of this universe. He is the one who has provided us this book. Now, what we have to ask is, how did He provide it? Well, look what Paul said to Timothy here. He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God," or is inspired by God, "and is profitable," he says here, "for several things." When he said, for example, "all Scripture is given by inspiration of God," what was he referring to? Because they certainly didn't have the New Testament in those days. He was referring, of course, to the Old Testament Scriptures. But there is certainly valid evidence to believe that not only was the Old Testament inspired by God, but certainly the New Testament is equally as inspired by God. So what we have here is exactly what Paul is saying to Timothy. We have the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. This is not a mixture of history and poetry and narrative, which God gave to us, mixed with human error. Because this is the way God has given us the Scripture. The Scripture says, if you'll move over to 2 Peter for just a moment, and if you'll notice in that first chapter of 2 Peter, what he says in the 21st verse, he says, "For no prophecy, no word given by God, was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. How did God give us the Scriptures? The Spirit of God came upon those men whom He chose, and so worked in their heart, and so and worked in their life, and He spoke the words of truth to them. He didn't just give some ethereal thoughts out there somewhere, which they grabbed out of space, but the Spirit of God spoke to those men and through those men. You say, well, that's interesting, though, that some that you can read, for example, in the Gospel of John, and then you can read, like in Paul's epistles, and you can just tell that there seems to be two different kinds of writing. Well, what you and I discover in that is that we are sensing the personality of John and sensing the personality of the Apostle Paul, who were absolutely, totally different personalities. And so God did not suppress their personality, bypass their personality to give us His Word, but He chose those men, those specific men with their personality, their background, and what God in His infinite wisdom knew about them. Then He chose them and spoke through them the very words that He wanted us to hear and to be able to understand and to apply to our own lives. Therefore, when the Apostle Paul wrote, he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so that what we have is God working through these men in such a way that God has given us in this book, we have adequately every single thing we need. Have you ever come to a problem in your life in which you were seeking the mind of God about anything that somewhere, if you kept reading, you found exactly in the Word of God what you needed? It may have been conviction. It may have been encouragement. It may have been wisdom and knowledge and understanding about something, the next move in your life and what God was doing about His will in your life. But it is all here. There's not anything missing from this Word, because this infinite, omniscient and omnipotent God, who has the power to do all things, chose out of His vast storehouse of infinite, immeasurable knowledge to give to you and to me this much truth in order that you and I could live by it, be guided by it, and guarded by it. And there are many other things He could have said, but He said, this is enough. Here's all the wisdom and all the unveiling of God that He decided to give us, compressed in something so small. In fact, the truth is you can put it in some microfiche fashion on just a little piece of film. The infinite wisdom of God. Now, if He can do that, He can certainly keep it without error. When somebody says, well, the Bible's got errors in it. Well, show me one or two of them, will you please? So people are always talking about what's not there. Everything that needs to be here is exactly here. Now, what we have to ask is, how necessary is this to your life and mine? Well, first of all, man cannot discover God. No man's ever discovered God. You didn't discover God. God revealed Himself to you. God unveils Himself. God reveals Himself to us. We don't discover who He is and figure out what He's like. If you want to figure out what man discovers about God, you can read a lot of books of men's philosophies and their ideas about God that are absolutely total distortions of the truth. Why? Because finite, sinful mankind is trying to formulate in his mind some form of God that sort of matches what he thinks he can do, how he thinks he wants to live, and therefore no man ever came up with a God like the God of this universe. Because the God of this universe is totally different from man's fleshly desires. He requires of us and provides in us something so totally different from what the world expects. So when we come to this book, there's something absolutely unusual about it. Something infinitely, infinitely different about it. Because you see, the only way to discover what eternity is like is for eternity to reveal itself. And nowhere does man know anything about eternity apart from the Word of God. There's no book like this. This is why I say, you know, if you believe in God, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you should be in the Word of God, and you should be pondering the Word of God. And the Word of God should be a part of your very being, a part of your thinking, a part of your daily life. And when necessary, defend the Word of God. You don't have to argue with people. Just say, well, it's the revelation of God. And when you talk about the revelation of God, I'm simply saying that God has unveiled Himself. That's what this book is all about. And if you could put it in one long sentence, you put it this way. The Bible is the story of God's redeeming love for lost mankind. That's what it's about in Genesis all the way to the Revelation. Because in Genesis, it is God's love, what? God's love created. That is revealed in the creation. And in the Revelation, it is the summation. That is the climax of the expression of God's love in heaven. So that from Genesis to Revelation, if somebody says, well, what's the Bible? The Bible is the story of God's redeeming love for lost mankind. That's what it is from cover to cover. Every instant, every single thing that's going on fits somewhere in that definition of what the Bible is. It is the unfolding revelation of God. It is the unfolding revelation of His love for you and me. And since there's no other book like it, it should be prized. And this is why Paul said to young Timothy, he said, the sacred scriptures which you have known, the sacred scriptures which you have known that gave you the wisdom to come to salvation in the person of, by faith in Jesus Christ. And so when we come to it, we say, what's the purpose of it? Well, first of all, you'll never get to God without it. You'll never get to God apart from the Holy Scriptures because it is His unveiling of Himself to us. Now, when we come to ask what is the purpose is this. The bottom line purpose is this, that man could not know God unless God had revealed Himself to him. And so God, working in the hearts and lives of men down through the ages, overpowering them through the Holy Spirit to write, to reveal the truth of God's Word, so that we in this generation are far more fortunate than those who were in the Old Testament because they only had part of the revelation of God. And the revelation of God is progressive. And so when we come to the New Testament, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you will, in the Gospel of John, how he described Jesus. When John begins his gospel, notice how he begins it. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's not talking about some manuscripts. He, that is the Word, was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being by Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has not come into being. What is he referring to? He's just simply saying to us that Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. That's who He is. When Jesus Christ came, why did He come? Well, why did God give us the Bible? God didn't give us the Bible so we'd have religious history recorded. He didn't give us the Scripture so we could live a good life. He didn't give us the Scripture so that we could be saved. That's not the bottom line. The bottom line of the reason He gave us the Scriptures is to unveil Himself, to say, this is who I am. This is what I'm like. And God knowing that if you and I understand, begin to see what God is like and who He is, we will be drawn to Him. We will be drawn to His Son. We will confess our sin. We will repent of our sin. We will give ourselves away to Him. We will grow in our relationship to Him. And we will begin to come into a relationship with Him of intimacy, which is His ultimate purpose for unveiling Himself to us. Tragedy of tragedies of tragedies is to live a person's life, never understand their relationship to God, never come into that relationship and die without God, having rejected His Son, Jesus Christ, which means that the very purpose for which they were created, they missed the whole purpose. Missed the whole purpose of living in creation. God has given us His Word in order that you and I may understand Him. And to understand Him and understand Jesus Christ, we've got to be in the Word of God. For example, where, other than in the Bible, would you ever understand that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God? Where would you ever understand that Jesus Christ was virgin born? That He's the sinless Son of God? How would you ever understand that His being sinless and being born of a virgin was absolutely essential to what happened at the cross? Where would you ever understand the miraculous power of the resurrection? Where would you ever understand that His resurrection affirmed everything that He taught? And that it affirms also that we too will have a bodily resurrection? Where would you not ever understand that one of these days God's going to sum up this whole earth and all of its cultures and civilizations? That all time is going to cease. This world's going to come to an end. All of time is coming to an end. Where would you not ever discover that Jesus Christ is coming again? That He's going to set up an earthly kingdom here. That there is a heaven and there's a hell. What would you not ever understand about eternal things apart from the Word of God? Nowhere. And truth of that is, look at all the other religions. And is it not true that every other single religion in the world, their form of salvation is by man doing something in his own power, in his own strength? Every single religion in the world, apart from the Christian faith, requires in whatever form of salvation they have, that man perform a certain way for a certain length of time to accomplish certain things. Let me ask you this. Where, apart from the Word of God, would you and I ever, ever, ever understand the grace of God? That forgiveness of sin, that cleansing from sin, that being made a brand new creature in Christ Jesus is not the work of our efforts. It is the grace of God handed down to sinful people who are willing to cry out for their forgiveness to Almighty God. The only way in the only place in the world you're going to find the grace of God, the only way you and I will ever understand that man is accepted by God on the basis of what his Son did at the cross and not human effort. Listen, otherwise, apart from the Scriptures, every single one of us would be thrown into the same category of all the other religions in the world, whereby people are striving and working and disciplining themselves and self-control and all the things that are happening, trying to do what? Trying to merit the favor of their God. And you and I can trust the witness of the Holy Scriptures that says that Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary. And when he died, he paid our sin debt in full. And the only thing you and I have to do is to place our faith in Almighty God, whose Son died at Calvary, believing that his death paid our sin debt in full, and you and I become the sons and daughters of God. What other religion in the world offers such? How would you ever know that apart from the Scriptures? You would not. And my friend, this book ought to be the most precious possession that you have. And what you want to do is you want to get it as dirty as you possibly can. People talk about, my Bible don't have a mark in it. Shame on you. You ought to mark it up. You ought to mark it up, color it up, whatever you may do. But listen, the darker your Bible pages become, the whiter your heart's going to become, the purer your heart's going to be. God wants us to meditate upon it. And you will weep in it. And you will confess over it. And you will repent over it. And you will laugh on it. And you will rejoice of the things that God wants to say to you in your heart through His Word.
When we fail to read and study the Bible, our communication line with God is weakened. Charles Stanley reminded us that it's never too late to build or rebuild our relationship with the Lord. The moment we turn to Scripture and begin to seek Him, God will begin to reveal Himself. God's power is free to flow through the life of anyone who has a right relationship with Him and who walks in obedience and faith. That kind of life is initiated through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Our mission at In Touch Ministries is to point people to that lifestyle. If you need some instruction and encouragement to continue reaching for that kind of consistent life, then the In Touch magazine is just for you. This free publication features articles by Charles Stanley that concentrate on how to apply scriptural principles. In addition, you'll find a brief daily devotional feature that will help you focus your attention on Christ. The subscription is yours free, so just mention the In Touch magazine when you write. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Need encouragement, biblical wisdom, help in your spiritual growth? Then stop at our website. There you can find devotionals, books and tapes, the In Touch magazine, and a replay of today's radio program on Real Audio. Our web address is intouch.org. The Bible should be our first source for guidance and wisdom. Learn more about our textbook as Charles Stanley concludes his series on the basics of the Christian life on tomorrow's broadcast. The teaching of Charles Stanley is touching the world with a passion for God and compassion for people. A presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.